What's up, everybody? We're here for Mudball Monday.
I think that I found the perfect consolidated breakdown of what locker rooms must provide. And they're the five S's. That is solace, shower, shitting, sitting,
yes,
and snacks.
Coffee, arguably an issue, but an issue that's not going away. Is a pizza a snack? Are we talking sweet and salty trail mixes, which should be separated, please? Both of them is preferred.
So for those listening today, I will draw said nook. I will post it on Instagram. Have a look at that nook.
So last night, I'm, you know, of course, making a pork chop, and I was trying to decide, like, what? There's just nothing really interesting on TV. I barely watch TV, but I will say when I eat, I usually end up like throwing something on, which is arguably not a good thing, but it is what it is. And I was like, what are we going to watch? What are we going to watch? There's nothing interesting to go right now. So, of course, I pull up YouTube and I was like, oh, 2019 Masters final round. Like, of course, I can always watch that. And so I'm getting through it and just glorious as always. And there was this one moment in particular, they showed a picture of Kat and he looked so young. And I just thought to myself, I was like, said nobody ever that Kat looked young in 2019. And I'm a half cup full sort of guy and cup half full sort of guy. And so where I went with that is like, there's going to be a moment in 2028. We're going to look back on 2024 and say Kat looked young when he did fill in the blank. It's the year of the cat. It's actually not the year of the cat, but
every
it's,
year
it's
is the
happen.
Year of the cat. But were that you looking right. at biceps, triceps or hairline? Because
well,
that's what I need to know.
I mean, buys and tries are only trending in one direction. The guy's upper body gets bigger every year. Hairline, like I think we're at that spot where he's gone in the wrong direction. Obviously, it's continued to get worse and worse. But like Bosley is on the horizon, right? Like we're getting very close to the point where all of a sudden he's going to start like painting his head or something like that. And all of a sudden it's, you know, it's like women when they get to be like, you know, upper 60s or something and maybe younger and all of a sudden the hair goes away and then it's like, whoa, you're brown again. You know, it's like that's where we're heading with Tiger. He's going to have a freaking afro. Can you imagine if he just ditched the hat? Maybe that's the whole Nike thing. No more Nike and he's going to go afro.
That would be a Malvin play. I've really enjoyed hearing J-Day and all the stuff that's gone on with the pants. But Tiger, if anybody, could just go bald and not have to explain to anybody. I don't understand why we don't just go Mr. Clean.
Mr. We've Clean. Been out in front of this one for quite a while, Mr. Clean.
We established this before Mob Theory was even a thing. So without further ado, what are we talking about today?
Mudball Monday, episode one of 2024. I'm fired up. We're talking locker rooms. We've done this before, but I think last time we did it, if we did it, I might be bullshitting.
We
here.
Did this about shops. A year ago, and we were in Austin, Texas, which is it's kind of crazy. It's been a year now.
Okay. I'm in Austin, Texas. When we talked about this before, it was very nuts and bolts. So let me explain to people where this is coming from. I got a text from a friend like 6 weeks ago, something like that. A guy who's a little older than us, but not that much older. He's 32, 33, member at a nice private club in Texas, and basically just taking the temperature on, hey, have heard some older guys that still really want this. We're going through a remodel. Some of the younger crew, this is kind of where their heads are at. And I was like, okay, this is an interesting concept because we've been talking so much recently about new clubs coming up. Obviously, a locker room is going to be a part of that. So like, where are we at? Golf is this interesting game where like tradition is amazing. But then we also have new stuff coming online all the time. And, you know, at some point, like we do need to get up with the times, I guess, and just take a deeper look at, okay, like, do we still really need this or could we potentially swap it out for that? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting conversation. Of course, before we're talking locker room, we're talking dirt. So first two episodes of the year, this is going to be dirt. Next week, we'll do self. Rather than doing any sort of full-blown like goals, we're going to do with each of these seven letters, we get to hit the E twice. We're going to do kind of dirt goals and self goals for this year or intentions, you may say. So Walker, I'll kick it to you. tell us, what are your drinking, eating, reading, and thinking goals or intentions for the year 2024?
Bueno, as far as drinking goes, and there are kind of two subcategories within drinking. There's hydration, caffeination, and then whatever else you want to get into. And there's plenty there as well, but didn't really make its way into this conversation. Shout out Topo. I've got one in the fridge. Should I go get one?
Here she is.
Should I go match you? That's okay. We'll stick with flat. As far as the hydration category goes, I don't really have a lot to say. As far as goals and intentions, I'm pretty dialed on that front. With the caffeination, a little bit different. We've got Project Pour Over very much in the works for this year. I think I mentioned it in the end of year pod, but I've got a new grinder, which has been great. I have been using that. I've got a new scale. I've got filters, and I'm waiting on the actual carafe to arrive this week. So I'll be reaching out to you, getting dialed, and I will report on a later Mudball Monday as to how that is going. But I expect it to go very, 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 very well. Fired up. Been long overdue. I've been pushed by Chris at Goodwalk. I've been pushed by our own Professor Henry Schimpf. And I'm almost embarrassed that it's taken me this long to get on the pour over train. But nonetheless, here we are. Eating. I could go a million directions with this. This is something that we've talked about on and off the pod. But plenty of physical goals this year. Protein's probably going to take point number one for the eating category. I am going to adopt, already have Marcus Philly's sort of take, which is 50 grams of protein before 10 a.m. Pretty easy thing to do as long as you prioritize it. I found it to be great. I really, in 23, I basically got halfway there. Felt like I started 23 out on breakfast. I was kind of into the intermittent fasting thing and like eating really big from like 11 a.m. to end of day. And I think in 2024, breakfast is so in. So I've been eating earlier, I've been eating more, and I feel like that's a pretty easy number to hit. So we talked at end of year. I mentioned I was somewhere in the ballpark of like 80 grams of protein from really clean sources and had about 120 grams a day total. And I've got to up that to 150 as like my base, I think. 200
doing his research.
200, I think, is going to be quite hard to hit, but I'm looking at June through August and I'm thinking it's going to be hot as fuck. I'm going to be in peak training. And I think I may have to at least attempt to hit 200 the majority of days of the week. I don't know if that's possible. And frankly, eating more is really hard. So one thing I'm looking forward to this year is just like missing, just setting a high number and just missing and being okay with it and just figuring out how to get closer and closer to that. So 200 is the number June through August. We'll see how that goes. And then just more carbs, like saying yes to the donut. I've never been scared of shit like that, but frankly, I can afford it. So I'm just going to say yes to more. I'm going to have the pastry. I'm going to have the donut. I'm going to eat more potatoes. I got sourdough on lock for this week. I've got two really nice sourdoughs in the freezer and one baked out with some butter and jam, pre-run. So I'm really looking forward to that. And that'll wrap up eating. And then just like eating with reading, I've got a million ways to tackle this one, but I've got 5 books lined up for the beginning of this year. I mentioned on the end of year pod, I really had no real lineup in mind for the first books of the year, but the first book I read, pretty quick read, was The Four Horsemen, which is, it was a wild book. It really trips me out, but it's a script of a conversation about atheism with Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett. And I got through that one pretty quickly, but it was a wild book. I'm currently reading 2 books, The Hacking of the American Mind with Dr. Robert Lusting. And it's fascinating. It's it's not just about food, but I guess the primary purpose of the book is to talk about the business of pleasure. So it talks a lot about sugar, food, marketing, psychology, and how all that stuff ties together. And then I really wanted to get some, there are a couple new kind of chapters that I want to get into, genres rather. I want to get some travel writing in. So I'm reading Figures in a Landscape by Paul Thoreau. And then I also want to get into, and I'm taking recommendations here from you or anybody else, I want to get into some biographies, some autobiographies, some fiction. Paul Thoreau is a really good fiction writer. And then some golf stuff. I've got Getting to 18 by Tom Doak on my list for golf writing. And I've got some other food books and things like that. So we're laid out for, I'd say, Q1. But I've got some buddies who are taking on a 5,000-page in 2024 goal, which is, I think, a really good goal. It's 96 pages a week, 16 pages a day, however you want to tackle it. But I think it's palatable, but also, you know, will be a challenge when things get busy. So that's what I'm adopting. And then thinking, really, it's just bringing you guys better video. And that's been something that y'all have been drawn to. And it's been the stuff that's done really well. We've got some awesome folks helping out with that, but getting dialed on Premiere Pro as we speak. We're going to do some more voiceover reels. I think we're going to really prioritize and dive into house theory and try to present that in a much better way. And we're going to travel more. We're going to get out and see the Thai loyalists out and about as much as we can. So that's what I'm prioritizing as far as thinking goes. And I will toss it back to you, Henry Shim. I'm interested to see what your dirt goals are.
Yeah, this was an interesting one. I mean, dirt usually, when you've done it enough, it's pretty easy. Especially as a couple guys that like to drink, eat, read, and think. But creating goals around these is like not as easy.
It's so weird.
Here we go. I mean, you know, broken record here. Hydration's not an issue. Coffee, arguably an issue, but an issue that's not going away. Beyond that, and this is a strange sort of goal because I think there have to be a lot of people that are going the opposite direction here, but like, I don't drink very much. We're talking alcohol now. I'm not sober. I'm like fully caught in between release patterns. You know, it's like, I don't always have to putt off the green, but I'm not actually good with a wedge. Like what are we doing? You know, go to the bar and like, it's clear, like, yeah, I want to have a drink. I'm not going to be that guy that wants to have a water, but like, I don't really want anything that much. I need to have like a more clear decision. You know, it's like when you get up to a pitch shot, that's a little bit funky. You have to have like the second serve sort of shot that you know you can get up there and at least have a putt. That's kind of where I'm at. Cause like, I don't drink wine. Wine's a no. I've tried to get into wine. I don't like wine. A cocktail doesn't play everywhere. So you can't always say, you can't assume that you're going to have a good cocktail because sometimes people are like, you want a Jack and Coke or a Coke and Jack, you know, and neither of those play for me. So I do like beer, but I'm a little bit more specific on what I like. Like I'm not an IPA guy. I don't drink light beers. Light beers are terrible. I'll take that one to the grave. So I need to have, again, a more clear release pattern on like, what am I ordering when I want to have one or two? And that's kind of what makes more sense. But I'm not just like, yeah, give me a Miller Lite, you know, because I think there are a lot of people out there. God,
I think maybe the Mick Ultra starts with the same letter, and that's
Mick Ultra, baby.
Drinking and smoking.
Yeah, there we go. So anyway, that's a weird sort of goal around drinking. But hey, I am wide open to recommendations, like you said, with reading. If the Thai loyalists have like, you know, I like kind of more of an APA, like an American pale ale. I do really like sours and like a Gosa. That's also something you're not going to see all that much. But if anyone has a recommendation of just like something down the middle that sounds like it might fit within my very small box of preferences, I'm wide open to it because I need something badly. So that's the drinking. Eating, also a little bit similar to you. I don't struggle with protein. I don't struggle to really get the food in. And this is just more of an accentuation of kind of what I do anyway, but I think it's eating with really good intention. And like if someone were to ask me like, how do you eat? Like, I'm not a purely clean eater, whatever that's supposed to mean. I'm kind of a performance driven eater, I would say. Like, I don't eat a bunch of salads because if I'm trying to like, you know, burn the boat, salads aren't doing it, right? Like, yeah, that's no disrespect to a salad.
I love a salad.
I love a good salad, but like a 600 calorie salad, that's just not getting the job done for me on, you know, a regular day for lunch or dinner, you know, like I need more action than that. So yeah, I would say my eating is performance driven, which I think centers a lot around knowing how much and when you're taking in macronutrients, essentially. Like if it's pre-workout, it's a large focus on carbs, protein, and then some, but not too much fat. Post-workout is going to be particularly carbs and protein with very little fat. And then beyond that, it's like just not being an asshole about things. Like, yeah, you have a little bit more leeway probably at dinner if you're working out the next morning, but like not too much leeway. You know, if you go extra spicy pad Thai, I've played that game before and it's not a super fun one. So anyway, just focusing on performance and being really intentional about it. And I think that where that kind of gets into is like, kind of like you said, you know, eat the donut, eat the pastry, whatever. If you're not in a period where you're looking for something uber specific out of your food, and it's much more just like, hey, I'm enjoying a meal and time with somebody, then like, you don't need to be a robot either, which I think I've gotten better and better about over time. I don't think I've ever necessarily been that way, but I've probably shaded that way a bit at times. But continuing to kind of be like, all right, what's the real purpose that we're trying to get out of here? And, you know, allowing that to dictate kind of what the food intake looks like. So I think that's my eating goal. Reading, also kind of strange here. I think a lot of people would be talking about more reading. I'm actually focusing this year on less reading. I did 47 books in 2023, whatever last year was.
That's big.
And I don't just like rip through them and not take it in. Like I could tell you what every single one was about in pretty good detail. But I want to spend a little bit less time with a book in my hand, and I want to be extremely intentional about which books I'm selecting, and like no curveballs, no shots in the dark on, I think I might like this. Like, I want to know what I'm getting into, why I'm getting into it, have a good balance of that. So like right now I'm reading what you gave me for Christmas, the David Goggins book, which, you know, the Goggins Nation is, it can be a bit much. It can be a little bit cringe, but like he also is probably the foremost voice in like mental fortitude. And so long as you don't go too deep into that rabbit hole, I think that there's a lot of value in reading a little Goggins here and there.
It's a good dose.
But like the next book that I'm going to read is another Christmas book called The Gambler. I think is it Billy Walter, like one of the most famous sports gamblers of all time. Like I love that kind of stuff. So that'll be really interesting, but that's more of like just for funsies, probably some golf reading. But anyway, point being, the goal this year is I'm going to cut it way, way down. 12 books this year, 12 bangers. And I want to be able to tell you every single sentence of the book, what happened and what I took from it and how I'm applying it, et cetera. So we're talking stone cold quality this year. Thinking, maybe something similar to that as well. I think my mind works, in pretty high gear a lot of the time. And if I've got three things in particular that I'm thinking about within the scope of a day, I'm probably thinking about all three of them all hours of the day. And I'm not as good at saying like, okay, so from this time period, I'm really focused on this thing or these two things, but that one is not in my mind. And then, you know, flipping it around based on the time of the day and what you're doing, I'm just kind of always cranking on a lot of different stuff. And it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard mental exercise is way harder than physical exercise, in my opinion. But that's something I want to focus on. It's like, curating my thoughts better based on the time of day and what I'm trying to accomplish, during that time of day. And I think that there are very clear things to do around that of like, is this a creative thinking time? Is this, kind of a production time in terms of work or whatever that may be? So more specific, less overall thinking at different parts of the day. That's a tough one. Thinking goals is really difficult, but that's what I'm going to try to do. So those are our dirt goals. Let's get into it. Let's talk about locker rooms. Let's start really high level here, and we'll just funnel it down as we do at Mud Bowl Monday. I'm going to hit you with a big one. What is the locker room meant for? What should it accomplish? What should it not try to accomplish? I think there are a lot of locker rooms that, whether it's from being a bit antiquated or just trying to do too much, there are things going on that we just don't need. What is it meant for, and what should a locker room really try to accomplish?
I've been really meditating on this. I think that I found the perfect consolidated breakdown of what locker rooms must provide to serve any sort of member or club or guest, which is important too. And they're the five S's. That is solace, shower, shitting, sitting,
yes,
and snacks. And if a locker room provides three, four,
sorry,
or
was
less,
it was sipping in there? Did I hear sipping?
No, I don't think that a sort of bar setup is necessary. I do think solace, showering, shitting, sitting, and snacks are necessities, though. And I do think there's a time and a place for sipping, but not all great locker rooms require it or have it. Before I really just do a deep dive on this, anything to take away there? Any takes?
Well, obviously my first one was the sipping thing. I probably go a different direction. I actually think that the sipping is reasonably important. I think some of the locker rooms I really like, now I'm kind of doubling back on myself. They're great locker rooms that have good sipping situations, and they're great locker rooms that have none of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to bench that one. I'm throwing that to the side. Let's focus on shitting. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to sit here and do the whole episode.
Shout out, good luck, coffee.
Obviously very important. Snacks. Okay. So let's hone in on that, because I think that's a big one. I need a layer deeper on snacks. Like what is the scope of a snack? Is a pizza a snack? Are we talking sweet and salty trail mixes, which should be separated, please? Both of them is preferred. Goldfish, cookies. Yeah. Like what is the extent of snacks?
No. So this is kind of like, it certainly doesn't fall in the traditional locker room bucket at all. But to me, I don't know if you feel this way or if others feel this way, but to me, it's a bit of a turnoff when there's like that try hard aspect to things. So I like to see the originals, Goldfish, you know, two different kinds of snack mixes. Again, I like one sweet, one kind of the spicy ones, the goat. I mean, you put a spicy bar mix into a styrofoam cup and just like drink it out of the cup. Does it get any better with like a carbonated beverage and a lime? I don't think so.
Pro or anti wasabi peas?
Yeah. All right. Snack mix is one of those funny things because rarely, if ever, do I like everything that's in a given snack mix, but that's what makes it such a great experience. Like the overall deal is nice. And just forewarning anybody listening here who like picks things out of the snack mix, you go ahead and shut it down and turn it off, go home. That's not an option. But yeah, I like the simple stuff. I think if we're serving pizza sticks with ranch or even peanut butter and jelly and bacon.
The ranch and pizza squad needs to get
out
of here.
Yeah, I said that just to piss you off.
Fucking A.
Yeah, but none of that. That's modern farmhouse vibes. Like that's too try hard for me. I want the simple stuff. I want the American classics. M&M's, so underrated. Like give me some freaking pretzel M&M's and that's it. We can have great food in an adjacent room, but
yes,
just for,
there we go.
But just for the locker room, I want the basics, the American classics. Anything to add there on snacks?
Well, it was probably going to be later on, but because you just mentioned it, like perfectly said, adjacent room. So here's the thing with locker rooms. We always have to be on the lookout for no towel Tommy, right? And no towel Tommy just kills the vibe when it comes to eating in a locker room. So that's one, which is why I don't think that there should be proper food served in a locker room. Yeah. Two is that locker rooms, I am all for clubs having all ages, genders, colors, all of it, truly. Locker rooms, we're not having men and women in the same locker room. I think that goes without saying. So one of the reasons that I don't like food in the locker room is like, I want people to eat together that come from like all of the different angles of a golf club. And if we're eating in the locker room, that it's like, you kind of only end up hanging out in the locker room a lot of time with people that you're actually with and playing with that day. And so I think that it makes the experience less collegial overall relative to whoever else is there that day. So I'm a big fan of the comment of adjacent eating situation. And frankly, like the bar can go either way. I think that a bar in a locker room can be nice for a quick one, but I don't like the locker room. I think it's on the same concept there with the eating that like, I don't like the locker room to be like a hideout necessarily. And I think maybe that's exactly what certain people want out of it. But personally, I think having stuff to where it's like you spend a bit of time in there, you're not just like hiding away from everything else in the locker room, is a strange one. Because I mean, going back to No Towel Tommy, like you're not going to have some great view typically from the locker room because we got to hide some certain things away. You should have, I think the best way to kind of do that without saying to people like you can't hang out here is be like, have a room right near the locker room that has the primo view of the 18th green and everything else going on and be like, okay, if you don't want to be here versus the locker room, then like, what are we even doing? You know? So anyway, that's my thinking on eating and in an adjacent room and the snack game. And I'm all with you there on the snacks. Like simple classics win, Goldfish underrated, M&M's underrated.
You kind of tackled it a little bit. I want to talk about lounging really quick because I do like the idea of having some lounge chairs and, you know, rain delay, like having a conversation when you got nowhere to be. I like the idea of, you know, the casino type lighting where, frankly, dude, like, you know, this Austin, Texas in the summertime, you've been outside under the sun for 6 hours. All you want to do for 30 minutes is just get out of the damn sun. And, it's a hard game to play because if it's the type of place where you walk in, you have no idea what time it is, you might end up staying longer than ideally I would want somebody to stay in a locker room. Locker room experience should be a 30-minute ordeal. Is that fair to say?
I think that's a good time cap overall, depending on how, you know, it depends on how much time you allocate to all the S's. Like there's a specific one in there I think of that you know, that could take up a lot of your time and it just depends. So you could bust really fast. It's kind of like blackjack.
How do you feel about
depending on some of that?
About lounging, does that happen in a separate space or is that formally a locker room activity?
See, I like it to happen in a different space. Like I'm a big fan of the like get your shit done literally and figuratively in the locker room, grab a drink and take it elsewhere. You know, like I mean, there are a million examples that come to mind, but I love when it's just like such a seamless transition from locker room straight into drink in hand, hanging out, looking out over the 18th green, great space. I think the locker room should serve as a platform into another room. It's house theory, right? It is truly house theory. The locker room, and I'm all for a nice large kitchen that people are hanging out in, but the locker room is almost similar to the kitchen where I would prefer a kitchen that is like the right size and has everything you want, but serves as a transition room or maybe is even connected into a different space where then you're doing your lounging and hanging out. So that's right with house theory.
There are a million things that we could talk about today that are fairly obvious, like keeping it pretty simple. I don't want to be looking in drawers for stuff. Like it should be obvious what the main to-dos are. You should be able to find the towels easily. If you need some hair product, you should be able to find that easily. But it's not worthy of the discussion today. What are some things that the old school locker rooms that do, you know, that are classics? What's phasing out? What do we need to potentially get rid of and start thinking about replacing?
So this is one, I think the Tide Podcast is a safe space. I take it we have some listeners who are getting up there in age, but probably not quite as many. And that's probably who your clientele is here. Don't get me wrong. I love cards. I probably love cards too much. I'm not for the card room in the locker rooms. I think that there's a different direction that we can go with that, because, and the reason is, again, it's not about the cards. I love the cards. It's the, as I said before, like, I don't like the locker room being a dungeon that people go hide in. You know, if you're showing up to the club, get out there, meet the other people around, go hang out in the drinks area, go be among everybody else. Don't just like hide away in the card room. And so I think that's the part of it that I don't like quite as much. And when I see that, it's always just like not immediate animosity by any means, but I'm kind of like, there's something else we could be doing with that. You know, I think that there could be a better application to the card room. You?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing as eating. Adjacent room, important, cool, time and a place. But I think what we're saying here is, hey, we love all the things, but let's consolidate the locker room experience to solace, showering, shitting, sitting, and snacks. That's what we're saying.
Okay, this kind of goes along with a lot of these different things. I mean, certainly you could, not shitting, but maybe not so much solace, but certainly sitting, snacks, and whatever the other one is that I'm forgetting.
Showering.
Not showering. How do you feel about TVs in a locker room? Having like...
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no.
That was a strong reply.
I don't want to see Nancy Pelosi on TV. I don't want to know.
Absolutely not.
I don't want to hear it. I'm okay with that in any other room in the clubhouse, but not the locker room. I want to catch no stray bullets. I want to know, that's the solace piece, is that is the safe space.
I think what we've really sorted out here today is like, there should be no distractions in the locker room from the five S's that are going to entice you to spend any extra time. Where there should be is in an adjacent room. You should be pulled into it. You should have all of those offerings. Mm-hmm. I actually think like snacks in the locker room, just the basics, but then immediately when you go into that other one, and I've seen this at a lot of clubs that I think do it great, you immediately have like, you've got wings and you've got all this stuff going on. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. Why the hell would I hang out in the locker room when I got chicken over there, you know?
When I got chicken over there. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah,
let's go the other way.
I don't have a ton to add to that, honestly.
Okay, so you talk about stuff that's phased out. So let's keep this within the realm of it's not going to be keeping you in there a whole lot longer.
Uh-huh.
What could be phased in? You know, I mean, we love tradition in golf, but tradition can't last forever in certain things. Some things it can. Is there anything that we're potentially missing in the locker room?
It depends on the club. And you know this as well as I do. I guess it's taken me a while. We always focus so much on the golf here that this feels kind of out of my realm personally. Like, what do I actually want in a locker room? Like, if I'm a member at a club, especially if it's local, especially if this is, you know, your hometown club, your neighborhood club, you're going to realistically, you know, go get a workout on the way home from work or in the morning. This is a locker room that you're going to use frequently. I kind of want the benefits of, you know, not joining a gym, of not having to run across town to go to like a wellness center. And so that's when those sorts of things start to come in play. It makes a whole lot of sense to consolidate it that into the country club type model. But as you said before, not everybody agrees with this. And so
we talking like sauna cold here? Is that what you're after?
I think sauna cold, but we could go as far as to say, you know, what are we doing about red light therapy? You know, what are we doing about some of the smaller, more niche things? I think hot, cold. I mean, look, most of these clubs have steam rooms, right? So we're halfway there. We've just got to have the conversation about the other two or three things. I think sauna cold's a pretty easy discussion to have. I don't know a whole lot of people who are like, yeah, that's just not a great investment.
Cold's not keeping anyone in there any extra time. That's for sure.
That's right. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think you're right on with like, it depends on the club. It's hard to make people agree. Like, I don't know, if you said like, hey, the card room's going to become our cold plunge sauna room, you'd ruffle some feathers. You'd be ruffling some feathers. That would be a tough one potentially. I would probably make that vote, but I know there are a lot of guys that wouldn't. And so Yeah, it's a tough one to sort out, but I love your commentary on like not having to go across town. Like, you know, people talk about the multiple spaces. Like you've got home, you have the workplace, you have people are looking for that third place. That's become a big thing that people talk about a lot in COVID, post-COVID world. Like people aren't looking to add a million different spaces, places, whichever one you want to use into your life. You don't need to go to work and then home and then the club and then the fitness club and then all of these different things. And so there's a really good argument to be made there around consolidation of things. And so that's where I think that locker room potentially serving some of those purposes could make a lot of sense. So
it's valuable. You know what else fascinates me? I had this thought is let's get creative with this. You know, golf clubs have a lot of acreage, and I get that a lot of inner city clubs are, that's a constant battle is what are we going to do with the acres that we do have? But nobody made a rule. There's no law that says that locker room activities have to take place inside. Why don't we delegate some land just like right adjacent to the clubhouse to kind of an outdoor sauna cold sort of situation? We can take it outside. And I think that would be a cool option to explore. Like the first club that does this, have to imagine that somebody will, is I have trouble believing that won't be a hit. So we'll just have to wait for somebody to do it, or we'll do it ourselves. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Fireplaces, guest books, things that really should stay, that are tokens to like an old school type of experience that you wouldn't really find at one of these new modern clubs, you know?
That's an interesting one to consider with locker rooms is what is your, let's pretend that every golf course out there is like close to 100 years old. What is your window of time in which you can make significant changes to a locker room versus what clubs out there have locker rooms that are so old and traditional that it's like, you absolutely cannot touch that because there are a lot of those that exist, right? Like you're not messing with Marion. You're not messing with San Francisco Golf Club. You're not, there are a lot of clubs that you can update the bathrooms. You can do all those things, which most of those clubs have, but you're not messing with the bones. And so that's a really interesting one to consider is like what isn't too old to potentially go a completely different direction with? I think that's why a lot of today's conversation is inspired by new clubs because we're not sitting there worried about the bones of the locker room we've had for a long time and the tradition of it. We're thinking about, okay, what are the things that we can incorporate from those? And then what could make some sense with being more with the times and what the golfer of today would prefer?
Yeah, it's hard. It's a form and function thing, really. And I agree with you, like if Marion or Seminole or something changed their locker room and outfitted it to be more along the lines of what we just talked about, it would feel wrong. It would go against house theory principles. We need the variety. Courses need to create their own identity of sorts. That's what makes the whole game fun. If all homes were the same, it would be a horrible world to live in. So that's another thing to consider too. Yeah, I love a fireplace. You made that call in our last Mudball Monday last year on this topic, and I liked that a lot.
Couple quick ones here for you. These are things that I've heard people over time say. I know that they love about locker rooms, and I want to get just your gut reaction here. It doesn't have to be a fully fleshed out answer. Bar of soap versus body wash.
Bar of soap, not because of function, because of memorabilia, because of
but there's too much memorabilia. You're putting all sorts of memorabilia over yourself.
Yeah, but Pete, like Pine Valley soap, give it to me like all day. I can get body wash at home all day. Do you feel differently about this? Is this body wash all day?
I mean, I am all for my own personal bar of soap, but when it's a communal space and we're all using the same bar of soap, that's where I have some issues. And so that's where I think, I'm kind of a body wash guy, probably.
This is an interesting discussion. All right, stick with me here. If you have a bar of soap and theoretically the grossest person alive used it before you, if you keep that thing under hot water for long enough, you've got a whole new bar of soap, in my opinion. And maybe that's wrong.
Yes, but it's kind of the same as like heating up leftovers in my mind. It's like,
yes, all right, I agree.
Are we working with the same thing? Technically, yes, but no. The answer is no.
Okay. Fair.
The absence of shower curtains. That's a common one. Is that just heinous and needs to go away, or is there something about it?
I don't know. I think there's something humbling about the late 90s middle school locker room experience. Like, it's not good. It's not preferable, but it's important. It needs to exist somewhere. So I know Marion. Does Pine Valley do this? I'm not aware of how prevalent this is currently.
I've not showered there actually, so I can't speak on it. It happens.
I would say if there are 10 of these in the world, I would say keep it your way. That's cool. If there are 50 to 100, I would say we should probably reduce that number. But I think it's important to have some where you're just walking around with that thing out, you know?
Fair enough. Okay, when we get to like the sink kind of wash area, very bare bones, like minimalist, everything organized, only the important pieces, you know, the brush, couple things of body wash, or not body wash, but soap and sunscreen, all of that? Or do you like the places that they're like 17 types of Club Man and like colors, a million different things going on, everything under the sun?
Like the cornucopia?
Yes. Good
that's
word.
That's a really good question. I don't know. I guess my preference would be, and this house theory principles apply here, if you have a maximalist locker room, you know, with all the club memorabilia and lots of stuff on the walls, I think it makes sense to have the cornucopia. But my personal preference would be very similar, Henry, to your approach to reading this year. Don't have much, make everything of really high quality. And I think that's probably the way to go. I'm not going to lie, though, like 12-year-old me, 15-year-old me loves a cornucopia. I love just trying all the different sprays and the freaking hair.
I'm a cornucopia guy. I'll die a cornucopia guy.
There's something that's nice. I love about it. Because you definitely don't have that at home. And if you do, maybe you're a hoarder. So I don't know. I don't know people that just like stock up on, they're not, I don't know human Walgreens, you know? Is there anything we're missing out on? I guess. Okay. Yeah, I'll let you have that.
I've got one more for you today. If given the option and you have the time, if you can take a shower in 10 different scenarios, days that you play golf, how many out of 10 are you taking a shower?
10.
Good man.
If it's not 10, it's like 9.5.
No, it should be 10. It should be 10 on the nose.
Yeah, I take showers when I don't have to all the time. That's kind of when you got them, smoke them if you got them.
I guess the question stems more from like, do you feel as if it's a fairly integral part of experiencing a club to have a shower, do the whole locker room deal, see what that whole dance is about?
The only asterisk I would add is that if I'm a guest, I'm not going to inconvenience my host to take a shower. Other than that, I'm going to take a shower. Especially if you're traveling, it just makes sense to do it. And if it's your home club, then I feel like that's kind of a different question altogether, because you're going to get your shower in eventually. So I have one question to ask you as we close out here. Nooks are very important to the people of the Tie podcast. Nooks are very important and applicable in a locker room setting, whether it's some sort of conversation nook or a shitting nook. Where are nooks best situated within a clubhouse?
Yeah, this is a great question. I've never thought about this. So I think that a lot of good clubhouses do probably have nooks that most of us are not privy to, because it's not what we're looking for when we go to a clubhouse. But I think it's a massive miss. Where I think a nook should really work is, it could be in a locker room. It could be in an adjacent room to a locker room. It can be most anywhere, but it needs to be somewhere that is seen, you know, somewhere that you are not going to miss if you end up going in the clubhouse. And I think it's such a great opportunity for like the club book, like maybe a book or two on the architect who designed the course. Like, let's sit there fireside, like put on the spectacles, you know, cross your legs, flip open an old book and like read a page or two, you know, just see what it's about. Flip through some pictures. Oh man, so many missed opportunities there. Old school clubs to have just nice, a little like reading room of sorts, you know, something that you do see a decent bit in the UK, kind of the history room. Mm-hmm. We need more history. Let's just call it the history nook. We need more history nooks out there.
I just visualized my dream nook, like clubhouse nook. So for those listening today, I will draw said nook. I will post it on Instagram. Have a look at that nook. Thanks for listening to Mudball Monday. Thanks for listening to the Tide Podcast. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon.